You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll talk about partisan political prejudice in America, where it's the most intense, and how to get along with those whose opinions are different from our own. First, Michael Arnold is in the studio with me for our spring membership drive here at WPR. As a listener, you know you're always going to hear something interesting when you tune into Central Time, and that's thanks to your support. Listeners provide the largest share of funding for Wisconsin public radio programs. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You make it all possible.
And last hour, we heard from 9 new and returning members. Thank you so much if you made your gift in the last hour. Right now, though,
We have
a new one.
This is fun.
This is a new one. It's a dollar for dollar match up to $2,500. I don't know how you'd say that. $2,500, basically. This generous match is from current donors, including one in Madison, and it means that they will match every dollar you give, but you have to do it now, because if we don't get the $2,500 over the next hour, we'll have to give some of it back.
It is a challenge. It's a dare. It's a way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. You can double your support for the programs you love when you give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And why are they willing to double your pledge? Because a large slice of funding for WPR programs, the biggest slice, is listener support. So while all of our funding sources, the state and federal governments and businesses, are important, your contribution makes a huge difference. It allows us to do a lot more. WPR is the amazing and varied service that it is, thanks to your support. So keep independent, high-quality programs on the air when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Think about this. If you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio maybe in the morning and afternoon on your way to and from work or a little bit at home, listen over the weekend too, add it up, you're probably listening for hundreds of hours a year.
That's a lot of time to spend with WPR. And if you've never given to WPR before, you should make your gift today of, say, $10 a month and get that cool new T-shirt we have. For hundreds of hours of listening, that makes WPR one of the best information and entertainment bargains you'll find anywhere. So your gift, no matter what amount you choose, and it will be doubled, really makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know what I hope happens with this this challenge? Well, I'm going to tell you what I hope happens. I hope that we get a lot of first-time donors to Wisconsin Public Radio this hour, taking advantage of this challenge, this encouragement to maybe make a first-time gift. And here's a little extra reason to make that gift during this drive. You're entered into a drawing for one of five $500 grocery card, like grocery store gift cards. So you get your pledge, you support great radio, you get it doubled. That's reason two.
Yeah.
You're in this drawing, reason three.
There are a lot of reasons. A
lot of great reasons to give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And I swear, if I won that, I would just get a whole bunch of cheese.
You'd go the cheese route.
That's what I'd do. But I can't.
We can't win this.
I work here. So you have an opportunity to do that. And when you support WPR, you're supporting the Wisconsin idea to spread the resources of the university across the entire state. It's such a great mission to have. And not every state has such an idea. Not every state has the high-quality programs you enjoy daily on Wisconsin Public Radio.
The Ideas Network is one of the great and unique things about Wisconsin. Public radio doesn't work like this in every state. We hear about that a lot from people who move out of Wisconsin and say, hey, wait, they don't have something. They have great public radio. They don't have something like the Ideas Network, where we have these conversations all the time about stuff around the state, stuff around the world. It is something to take pride in, get together with all the other people in the state and beyond who give and make this happen with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we have a dollar for dollar match in effect right now up to $2,500. So every pledge that comes in right now will be doubled. So make the most of your money. Supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is the great thing to do with a few minutes of your time. All we need is your name, your number, a few other pieces of information, and then you can move on.
And that gift it took you just a few minutes to make turns into hours and hours and days and years of radio stories and programs that keep you connected to the world. Give now at WPR.org or 888 888- 202-2552.
Dollar for dollar match is in effect up to $2,500. There's still room to get your gift to be matched. It's a great way for you to work together with some other people who want to support Wisconsin Public Radio. You've been putting it off until the last minute. Well, it's the next to the last minute in some ways. Today is the next to the last day of the drive. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. If you feel like talking about politics with friends or family, you may have noticed it's gotten more difficult, more polarizing over the years. Now, a new report from The Atlantic is looking deeper into the feelings of partisan prejudice. The project measured political prejudice in the United States at the county level, showing how strong people's negative feelings are toward members of a different political party. For its part, Wisconsin came out as one of the more politically prejudiced states. Some of our neighbors, Iowa, Illinois, a little less so. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you sense a lot of political resentment in your part of Wisconsin? Or are people a little more cool-headed? Do you have friends or coworkers or a spouse who have different politics than you? How easy is that? How hard is that to deal with? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Amanda Ripley is a journalist, author, and contributor to The Atlantic. Amanda, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, how did you tackle this? How did you try to measure how much a political prejudice we had around the country against people who disagree with us?
Well, it's hard to do, right? And it's necessarily imperfect. But what we did was something that hadn't really been done before, using some pretty complicated but pretty cool sort of big data analytics, working with a firm called PredictWise, and started by polling a lot of Americans about how they feel about the other side. So not how you feel about the other political party's ideas or policies or politicians even necessarily, but how you feel about Republican voters or Democratic voters. Like, how would you feel if your child married a Democrat or Republican? And how well do you think the term selfish or compassionate describes Republicans or Democrats? Those kinds of questions. And then once we did that, we were able to know a lot about the people who answered that survey. And we were able to see which demographic traits seem to correlate with strong political partisanship or prejudice, as we called it, sort of intolerance for the other side above and beyond disagreeing on the ideas. And so we could see some interesting things, like, for example, being white seems to predict political prejudice against the other side, whichever side that may be. Being older, being living in or near a city, and being well-educated. So not all these things necessarily, but those things seem to go along with it. But maybe the most interesting to me was that we could see the political diversity at the neighborhood level for not just the people who answered the survey, but we can see that for the whole country. And we could find that the political diversity of your neighborhood is a really important factor in determining your level of political prejudice or intolerance. And so the less amount of diversity, politically speaking, the more intolerant.
Right. People have talked about online, the so-called filter bubble, in person, the great sort, people have called it, where in every way we're making our lives so that we interact more and more with people who think roughly the same way we do. And you found definite pockets of that around the country, right?
Right. So you're right. It's true online for all of us and for our media consumption and so forth. It's easier to live in a bubble and just be sure that you're right all the time. But now we're seeing that at the neighborhood level, too. And we do see that that seems to go along with political prejudice. So where I live in Washington, D.C., and where you live in big parts of Wisconsin, I'm guessing, there's not a huge amount of political diversity, and that's a problem. Whereas the place we ended up focusing on, which is in upstate New York, had a surprising amount of political diversity at the neighborhood level. So people disagree with each other, definitely, but they're more likely to know well someone they disagree with.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. You found a book club with people from a pretty wide range of political perspectives, reading the same book, getting together and talking about it and getting along in a pretty civil way, which sometimes it seems like that doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah, it was really interesting. I spent some time with Fred Gehry, who's a minister in this town of Watertown, New York. And he would hold this weekly men's breakfast at his church. And it had people, what he described to the right of Rush Limbaugh and to the left of him, and he describes himself as one notch below a communist. So it was a wide range, as you say, and they would read books. They read The New Jim Crow by Michelle Alexander. They read about the opioid crisis, really, you know, important, timely books about big, difficult topics in American life. And the trick for him was to make sure everybody was well-fed to begin with. That was a big part of it. And he would cook all the food himself, but also to make sure that they knew each other and that they talked, as he put it, long enough to realize how much they didn't know, which I really liked. So in a lot of ways, these breakfasts were like the opposite of social media, right? Like they were slow and they were done with a tone of humility.
Talking to Amanda Ripley from The Atlantic, talking about a project looking at political prejudice around the United States. You could check out the maps at The Atlantic's website. Amanda, I want to get to some of the consequences here. One point that you focused on in some of your writing was the perception that people on the other side, in some cases even people on one's own side, are more extreme than they really are.
I'm really glad you brought that up because this is the reason why this matters. There's some really compelling research that's coming out that's showing that as we become more and more divided, we are making more and more mistakes politically and also personally about one another. Once you get into stereotyping millions and millions of people, you make mistakes. That is the nature of stereotyping, right? So we find that Republicans now think that other Republicans are further to the right than they actually are on the issues. And Democrats think Republicans are even further to the right than Republicans think, and vice versa. So we think that we found in the research that Republicans tend to think that Democrats are more radical and godless than they actually are. And Democrats think that Republicans are far richer and more cruel towards the poor and others than they actually are. So once you start making these mistakes, it has big implications. There's even a study that's found that people are less likely to get their kids vaccinated when the other party has control of the White House. So there are all these kinds of unexpected effects that come from this kind of divide in the country.
We're talking to journalist and author Amanda Ripley about a project she worked on mapping out levels of partisan prejudice in America and how we look at people with different political opinions. You can join in at 800-642-1234. In your part of the state, do you think you are able to have civil conversations with people who have different political opinions than you do? Or do you agree to disagree? Or have you seen people cutting ties with friends or family members just because they can't overcome those differences? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking to journalist Amanda Ripley about political prejudice in America. She worked on a new project from The Atlantic called The Geography of Partisan Prejudice, mapping out around the nation how strongly people feel about people with different opinions, how negatively they feel about them. Amanda, a worry you have in your writing is that at some point we're maybe dehumanizing people on the other side of the political spectrum. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, nearly 20% of Democrats and Republicans say that many members of the other side, quote, lack the traits to be considered fully human, according to a 2017 survey by political scientists Nathan Calmo and Liliana Mason. So these are the kinds of studies that we have seen in other countries in conflict zones. And once you start getting into this, where the conflict escalates to such a point where the other side seems insane and you stop really speaking the same language, like you see something happen and you see it totally differently and you are totally baffled by the other side, then you start to typically see this kind of demonization and dehumanization. And the problem with that is that it almost eventually leads to violence if it's not somehow mitigated, right? Because the conflict just escalates and escalates. So this is very concerning for people who study conflict and have been in conflict zones all over the world.
And another consequence is, again, from what you wrote about this, if people on one side have mistaken impressions of the other side, think they're more extreme than they are, well, eventually that sort of thinking is going to go up to political leaders, party leaders, elected officials, that kind of thing. And they might make different decisions that they might have than they might have with better information.
I think it started with political leaders, particularly at the national level, and also with political pundits in the media. So I think that it had really started there years ago with this sort of demonizing of the other side. And this is what I think I would love to see us get to, a place where we can see how we're being, all of us are being manipulated. Like, there are politicians, media outlets, and platforms that are profiting and building their brands off of us being enraged at each other. And the more I kind of recognize that, it really changes the way I react to some of these messages. So I think it's important to see how we're all kind of getting played by a small number of companies and individuals who have a lot to gain by pitting us against one another and really keeping us at each other's throats. And so to your point, yes, when this happens at all levels, eventually government grinds to a halt and fixable problems that most Americans want to see fixed and even agree on the solutions don't get fixed because of the conflict.
I know from past conversations, you are interested in more productive conversations, better ways to talk to each other, even if we disagree with each other. For somebody listening, what advice would you give them if they're in that situation? They have this, if they're lucky enough to have a politically diverse group of friends and family members, how do they keep that alive in a happy way?
That's a really good question, because if you're lucky enough to live in a place or have family, well, we don't usually see this as lucky, but I'm now starting to see it as lucky. If you have family members who disagree with you politically, there is an opportunity there. And it's actually really important. I think those of us who don't get to have those conversations are turning out to have some ignorance about the other side in ways we don't realize. So while those conversations are definitely can be very awkward and risky, it's important to have them. And there are good and bad ways to have them, for sure. But one of the rules of thumb that I've learned from people who do this all the time is to really try to keep it personal, to start with the question and try to be curious if you possibly can, to start with the question, you know, how did you come to think the way you do about this, and really listen and show the person you've listened. And then you'll find, and this is just sort of a basic algorithm of human behavior, when people are dug in on something, they just want to feel heard. Like, they will then listen to another point of view. They may even open their minds to another point of view. They may not. But it's like a prerequisite that they feel heard, even if you disagree with them, that they believe you heard what they said. And so that is a different way of understanding persuasion than I think what we see, you know, on cable TV news.
And briefly, Amanda, as we wrap up, thoughts for how we in the media can facilitate better conversations like that?
There's a huge opportunity for newspapers and radio and media outlets to really ask their readers and their audiences, what do you want us to talk about on this upcoming election, or when it comes to crime or education, and really build trust that way by listening to your listeners and your readers and kind of becoming allies with them and being more transparent about what you're doing. And then as often as possible, when you're covering a really polarizing conflict or controversy, try to complicate the narrative. Like, don't cut the parts that don't fit people's stereotypes, right? Include those parts. Like, we often do cut those parts because, you know, we think it's too complicated. But in a time of high conflict, like we are in the United States, it is bad journalism to let things remain oversimplified. There is almost always more complexity to real humans. That may not be the case, right, with celebrities or politicians, but with regular voters and regular issues, there's a huge amount of complexity. And it's important, I think, to really amplify that in a time of polarization.
Amanda, thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Rob.
That's Amanda Ripley, author and journalist. She joined us to talk about her reporting for The Atlantic about partisan political prejudice in America and how to reach past it with better conversations. Right now, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Membership Drive. Michael Arnold is in the studio with me to ask for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio with a gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And Mike, we have this dollar for dollar challenge. How are we doing?
We're doing pretty well. We're about halfway through. We have about $1,250 left in that dollar for dollar challenge, which means that when you pledge a gift at any amount, it will be matched dollar for dollar by our friends who have contributed to this. We have a match from some listener in Madison and a few other current members. And so your gift of $50 turns to $100, $100 turns to $200, and so on. So join this partnership right now and make your pledge, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And I love this last conversation, Mike, about how we think about politics, how we think about people with different opinions than our own, and how to use the power of conversation in a positive way to help, you know, maybe not convince people to agree with us, maybe not solve all our problems, but to at least be having the same conversation about what those problems are. I think that's part of the power of the Ideas Network, because we, at our best, I think, are really doing that each and every day. If you value that kind of conversation, understand that that's what we're trying to do all the time here on the Ideas Network.
Where Wisconsin connects. WPR is listener supported. That means your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the conversations that you tune in every day where you hear different perspectives possible. So choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
We heard from Kristen in Middleton. Kristen says WPR programming is grounding and enriching. Thank you, Kristen says. Kristen, thank you so much. What a lovely thing to say. I'm glad you're listening. Now, how about you do what Kristen did? Realize how much you appreciate Wisconsin Public Radio and then make your own gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are about 10 t-shirts away from meeting that dollar for dollar match. So if you make a pledge for $10 a month, it will not only be doubled, but you'll get us closer to being able to take advantage of all of that $2,500 that are put on the table for WPR. So make your pledge now, because it's really important to support Wisconsin Public Radio, and maybe you want to become a sustainer.
That's right. Sustaining memberships. I didn't get this when we first started doing this, Mike. I didn't get the whole sustainer thing, and now I'm so on board with it. I'm a sustainer myself. Mm-hmm. People pledge. They have an ongoing gift, so we can count on it month to month, year to year, and then you and I, when we become sustainers, we know that we're always current, that our support of public radio is always up to date. It's really worked out well. A lot of people joining in doing this. How about you? Become a sustainer right now. It takes just a few minutes at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's the Set It and Don't Forget It program.
Exactly.
It's a good way to remember that you're current on your WPR support. So set up your sustaining gift right now at WPR.org, or you can call us and do that on the phone at 888-202-2552. Listener support's the single largest source of funding, which is why we're asking for you to support us now. And thanks.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll hear from a leader of the group Wisconsin Right to Life on why she says new changes to a federal program for family planning services are a good idea. First is the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Membership Drive. Rob Ferret here with Michael Arnold. You rely on the Ideas Network for informative, interesting discussions and perspectives. We rely on you to keep programs like this one going strong.
We are $1,200 away from meeting that dollar for dollar match. We have $1,200 to match. So we're 10 t-shirts away from meeting that match. We can do it. That's 10 t-shirts. That's it. You and nine of your friends with t-shirts.
So to get a t-shirt,
like
you pledge $10 a month,
right,
or more.
Right.
Support great radio. Ask for your t-shirt, the new Wisconsin Public Radio t-shirt, new design, out just for this pledge drive, just in time for it. And then you also get that dollar for dollar match until we hit that total goal. Two great reasons to pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, we have some listeners who say that hearing about a dollar-for-dollar match is like Pavlov's dog. instead of salivating, though, they want to go to the phone and make a pledge. If you're one of those people, you should do it. You should make a connection with us, because the Ideas Network is all about connections, basically. You connect with news and information from around Wisconsin. You connect with guests. And you connect with your friends and neighbors all over the state, near and far.
And these connections only happen because members step up and help pay for them. The Ideas Network is listener-supported radio, and that's where you come in to make everything you value here on the Ideas Network possible with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
There's a lot of stuff that you just spend money on and you don't think about it and it doesn't do anything for you. I realize I have a Snickers bar habit where I will sometimes, I will sometimes get three Snicker bars in a row and just eat them. It's
like
a waste.
Full size?
It's a waste of money. It's a total waste of money.
But
it's
yummy.
Really easy to spend a dollar or more a day on things like that that you just kind of get used to wasting some money, like a cup of coffee or a Snickers bar from a vending machine.
So how about taking that daily money and put it toward the news, the information, and inspiration from Wisconsin and around the world that you get here on the Ideas Network? Maybe that dollar a day, $30 a month, is the right donation for you. Sign up right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and support the programs you count on.
There are so many good reasons to give to Wisconsin Public Radio. In this drive, one of them is that your donation of any amount gets you entered in a drawing for a $500 gift card to a grocery store near you. You'll have five chances to win. We hope you'll donate to enter, but you don't have to donate to win. You can send in a postcard with your name, address, email, and phone to WPR Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Sustainers, we've got you covered. You're automatically entered. Check out the rules and details at WPR.org/drawing. Your donation of any amount right now gets you entered. Here's how to give.
Give online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Rob Ferret here with Michael Arnold. Your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio keeps all your favorite programs going strong. Give now $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount works for you. We appreciate it and we count on it.
And we have that dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from current WPR members, including one in Madison. So your gift of $50 turns to $100, $100 turns to $200, and so on. Take advantage of this match. We still have about $1,000 left. If we don't get the $1,000, we won't be able to keep it. So by making your pledge, you'll double your support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you've already renewed or you make ongoing monthly gifts as a sustainer, thank you so much. Listeners who renew and monthly sustainers are the backbone of WPR.
They certainly are. And if you haven't given yet, join the thousands of other WPR members by donating at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Enter now and get in on that grocery card, grocery gift card drawing. One of five $500 gift cards could be yours when you give and get automatically entered. And get your pledge doubled with that dollar-for-dollar match at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Only takes a few minutes to make your pledge. And remember, that dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect. We have about $1,000 left, I think. Mm-hmm. And a good way to make your support known today is to be a sustainer. You can become one right now. Set up monthly donations from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It'll provide reliable support for the programs you love.
Sam and Maybell in Ripon, it says Ripton. I'm betting it's Ripon. I think it's a typo. Ripon say, we are multi-station WPR listeners. We travel often and listen to both networks regularly. At home, we listen to All Classical, our mm-hmm. online classical network. Thank you, they say, for a rich diet of music, stories, and news. Thank you so much for your pledge. And for supporting the radio you count on, how about you? Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And it only takes a few minutes to make your pledge, and you'll also be able to double your pledge by taking advantage of this dollar-for-dollar match. Support Central Time. Support what you get from Wisconsin Public Radio. Become a listener supporter. Become radioactive. That's what you should do.
What?
At WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Grab a t-shirt, $10 a month or more. Ask for it when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and thank you. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. A new rule from the Trump administration could bring big changes for facilities that provide or refer patients for abortions. The changes are centered on something called Title 10. That's a federal program that funds family planning services for millions of low-income Americans. It's already illegal for federal funds to be used for abortions in most cases. According to the rule change, though, this was announced last month, if an organization is either providing or referring patients for an abortion, they can't also get Title X funding for their other services, things like contraception or STD prevention. Heather Weininger is the executive director of Wisconsin Right to Life. Heather, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me today.
Well, what's your reaction to these changes to this Title X from the Trump administration?
Well, first, I think what we should talk about is what does Title X do? Yes, it does provide family planning services. And I think what's important to understand in that part of it, it's about the preconception before a pregnancy. That's the family planning care that we're talking about in this instance. And I think, it draws a clear distinction that abortion is not family planning and it's not health care. So when we look at these new rules, and let's be clear, this isn't the first time a president has changed Title X rules and regulations when it comes to Title X. But I think it really outlays for us the clear goal. We want to reach as many low-income individuals as possible through Title X and provide them those family care planning care services that they're looking for. What's interesting, here in the state of Wisconsin, not last session, but the session before, a law was passed that required the Department of Health Services to apply for Title X funding. That's something that the state hadn't done before, and I went back and looked at the numbers back in 2016 and 2017 versus 2018, and you'll see the number of rural areas in Wisconsin and the increase in services that are now available to low-income women and families that wasn't there before. So I think this is a great opportunity for us to take the funds, distribute them to even more locations across our state. And as we all know, we have a lot of areas in Wisconsin, especially in the northwestern part, Pepin, Pierce, Dunn County, they all are now receiving these funds because the state applied for them. So it's not limited to just 21 facilities anymore at Planned Parenthood, but now so many more women have options to this.
And this would be, you mentioned Planned Parenthood, this rule change, it seems like that would affect Planned Parenthood more than any other organization in the state or probably the country, right? Is that about right?
Well, you know, it would. And by allowing funds to go to other organizations, then it allows them to increase the care that they can give to others. They now have access to the Title X funding, whereas before they didn't. And again, it's all about the care beforehand. Now, we know that you can't refer for abortions in this, and for Planned Parenthood, that's a problem because that was a direct source for them for referrals, obviously. It was when a client would go for and receive services, whether it's Title X or others, and have a referral for that. So obviously it's going to cut into the bottom line dollar for Planned Parenthood.
Now, Planned Parenthood and others have described this as a gag rule. Doctors worried that they can't talk to their patients about all options that are currently legally available to them. What's your reaction to that?
Actually, that's not true at all. If you read through all of the comments and the decisions that the regulations were deemed when they heard the comments, they can still talk about that option. They can't refer for abortion. So it's whether or not the woman wants to have that information, but they simply cannot refer for the abortion.
And what's your reaction to the lawsuit now from 21 state attorneys general, including Wisconsin's attorney general now, Josh Call?
Well, it certainly isn't a surprise when Governor Evers has in his state budget Title X funding to go to Planned Parenthood. This new regulation by the Trump administration kind of puts a kink in that portion of his budget. So it's absolutely not a surprise that Josh Call gets in on that lawsuit. And then at the same time, he's supposedly capable of defending the state of Wisconsin from a lawsuit that Planned Parenthood has brought on to override some of our protective pro-life laws that we have right here in Wisconsin.
Talking to Heather Weininger, Executive Director of Wisconsin Right to Life, looking at some rules changes from the federal government on this Title X funding, family planning funding. The rules would limit the use of that money, would stop the use of that money for groups that also did referrals for abortions or provided abortion services themselves. Heather, other changes in these rules, it sounds like, would loosen up some of the requirements on who could receive this money in terms of abstinence, education, different kinds of family planning than, say, Planned Parenthood might offer. What do you make of that side of this? Yeah.
I actually think it offers everyone here in Wisconsin and across the country greater access to more options for family planning. You know, you can talk about abstinence, natural family planning, whether or not you use some other kind of birth control. I think it opens up a greater discussion for options that maybe people weren't aware of. And I think that's a good discussion to have.
There are concerns that that might lead to less evidence-based types of family planning being funded by the federal government. Is that a concern for you?
You know, I think that when we look at family planning, we need to offer the best services available, all the services without the option of abortion, because that's not family planning. The child has already been conceived. So let's look at the real family planning options that are out there. So I think we're on the right track.
Abortion numbers ticked up slightly in Wisconsin in 2017 after substantial drops over a period of time before that. What do you make of the state of the abortion numbers here in the state?
They unfortunately did see an uptick, but I think that's due in part to the new Planned Parenthood facility that opened in the Third Ward in Milwaukee. You know, it's in a new trendy neighborhood. They've built it so women can bring their children to play while they go and seek an abortion down the hallway. I think it's them targeting women of low income to seek an abortion rather than offer them the alternative of life. And I think, you know, so many years they've seen their business model declining and the profits were declining for them. So Planned Parenthood really was eager to see those numbers increase.
Now, when it comes to these Title X changes, as we mentioned, lawsuits from states and others, what kind of efforts are you at Wisconsin Right to Life planning to try to make sure these changes do go into effect?
Well, you know, at this point, when it's a lawsuit, there's nothing that we'll do at this point. We have been known to file amicus briefs when there are lawsuits, so that's not an option we're ruling out. And certainly, we will continue to educate the public on Title X funding and where the needs are for it and what true family planning is. And we'll stand behind the Trump administration and support them on this effort.
And more broadly, how is your organization thinking about its role now that there's not complete Republican control over of state government, Democratic governor now in the governor's office? What changes now?
Well, you know, we know we don't have a friend in the governor's office who will sign pro-life legislation into law. But we think it's a really great opportunity to talk and educate the public on the types of abortions that are performed here in the state of Wisconsin and across the country, who abortions are being performed on, and offer them a real alternative and hope that they'll favor life.
Now that we've seen other states working on things like heartbeat legislation, other changes to their abortion laws, the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court now has changed over the last couple of years. Are you looking for some of these changes to make their way up to the U.S. Supreme Court and maybe get different results than they might have in the past?
We're always hopeful for something to go to the Supreme Court, and we have a change in Roe versus Wade in what's taking place. Now, certainly what we do here in Wisconsin, if it were signed into law, we know it would be challenged. Wisconsin probably won't be one of those states right now if we enact something. But we continue to monitor all the laws across the country to see what's being challenged, how we could do the law differently here in the state of Wisconsin so it's not challenged. And we're hopeful that someday Roe versus Wade will be a thing of the past.
I'll bring on a caller now. Reed is with us in Clintonville. Reed, hello.
Yes, good afternoon. Thanks for this opportunity. Say, my question or concern is, as this young woman spoke about the fact that abstinence education, for instance, will be one of the components that perhaps would benefit from these changes. And oftentimes the organization and its organizations and institutions that offer abstinence counseling, among other things, or counseling to women to give birth, whether the birth is viable or the child is viable or not. These organizations are often religious organizations, and from what I have seen, in most cases, they're either evangelical Christian or Christian organizations that benefit financially in substantial ways
Reed, I'll jump in because we don't have too much time left. Heather, under these rules changes in Title 10, would religious organizations be some of those receiving money for family planning services?
Well, I think, as the caller talked about, you know, the good news is there's a lot of counties who are receiving this money. There's a lot of areas of our state that maybe abstinence education is part of it, but that's not the only education they're receiving. So I think that's a false thought to have in this process.
Thanks for the call, Reed. As we wrap up, Heather, our previous conversation was about finding common ground in divisive issues. This was pretty divisive. Do you see places where the right to life community, the pro-life community, and the pro-choice community could work together, maybe preventing unwanted pregnancies? I think something that both sides might agree on. I don't know.
You know, I think we agree on it. It's how we get there at the end of the day. But what I do know is, you know, when a child is born, we want to ensure adoption is an option. If we can make that an easier process here in the state, a more affordable process here in our state, we'd be happy to work with them.
We'll leave it there for now, Heather. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That's Heather Weininger, Executive Director of Wisconsin Right to Life, with us to talk about changes from the Trump administration to the federal Title 10 program. Those changes would restrict funding for family planning service providers who also provide abortions or refer patients for abortions. Now, Michael Arnold joins me in the studio to remind you that this is your chance to support a wide array of conversations about big issues in our state, in our nation, here on the Ideas Network. You can make your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we want to celebrate the fact that we met that dollar-for-dollar match up to $2,500. Thanks so much to some generous current members, including one in Madison, that doubled every dollar that was given in the past hour or so. It's their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. If you haven't had a chance to pledge, now's a good time to make a gift and make a pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It is the second to the last day of our membership drive here on the Ideas Network. Tomorrow, and then we're done. So take this almost last chance to make your gift if you've been putting it off. Make that gift right now. WPR is listener-supported, and that means your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes all these topics possible. Choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
That's right. And the membership drive also has an exciting drawing for a $500 grocery gift card. You have 5 chances to win. No contribution is necessary. You can see all the rules at WPR.org. Better yet, be automatically entered when you make a donation of any amount right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is my companion. It provides an important outlet that is balanced, provides content and insights from a range of perspectives. We pay for other media, newspapers, television, so there's no reason why we shouldn't invest in something that we get so much value from. I'm Terry from Madison, Wisconsin, and as a member of the 9XM Leadership Circle, I enjoy supporting this important cultural resource that benefits so many people throughout Wisconsin.
Members of the 9XM Leadership Circle give annual gifts of $1,200 or more. Join this group of leadership donors. Here's how.
Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret here with Michael Arnold, reminding you that listener support is the single biggest source of funding for Central Time and all the programs you count on. That's why your support is so important during this membership drive. Second to last day of that membership drive. Give 10 bucks a month or 20, whatever amount works for you is the right amount to give.
And everybody who makes a pledge today is entered into the drawing for the $500 grocery gift card. In fact, you'll have 5 chances to win. Sustainers, you're automatically entered, but if you aren't already a current member, you can do that now by making a pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're trying to figure out, okay, I give you my money, guys, what do you do with it? Well, you're listening to it right now. Mike, you remember back in the day when we were starting this show called Central Time, you were a big part of the motivating force here to make this happen. Could we have done this ambitious new show in a new way, kind of a new thing we were doing on the Ideas Network, without support from listeners over those years that had led up to it?
I don't think we could.
Not at all.
No, not at all. No. And that's why listener support is vital. It allows Wisconsin Public Radio to change and grow and evolve with the times and also provide a service that's up to date for you. So if you appreciate the fact that Wisconsin Public Radio tries new things like Central Time, which isn't so new anymore, you could make a pledge for it right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And your pledges since then have allowed us to do something like Beta with Doug Gordon, his fantastic show with lots of great interviews on the weekend. Again, doesn't happen without your support. You don't. If we didn't have these pledges, we wouldn't be able to try new things here on the Ideas Network. You really are a part of the team when you give. Make your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Wisconsin, that's another thing we're doing these days.
I love that. I can't wait to hear more about that because that's been fun.
We take your questions and we find answers for them. It's a great way to interact with WPR listeners. That's a new thing that started in the past just few months, actually.
Yeah.
And so there are a lot of new things going on, but then there are also a lot of things that you've always relied on here, like the Ideas Network, which has been around for quite a long time. You support this service. You support the evolution of Wisconsin Public Radio at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We heard from Rolando in Middleton. Rolando says, I'm from Mexico and I've lived in the U.S. for almost 20 years. WPR has been my trusted source for responsible journalism. Local, national, and international. Rolando, thank you so much. Glad you're listening. Thank you so much for pledging in support of your listening. How about you? Make your own gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, if you're one of those people who likes to wait until the last minute of the drive, that's tomorrow. But right now, we're like kind of the next to the last minute of the drive. It's the next to last day of the drive. It's almost over. If you want to celebrate that and not seem like too much of a procrastinator, now's a good time to make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We can't do it without you. Join the Central Time team right now with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We really appreciate, we really count on your support. Thank you so much.